Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2009. And the reason I'm giving the date, that's for the recording. So that when we record, we have the exact date. Okay? And today at Humphreys Avenue School, we have two special guests. And the title of our talk today is called The 1940s, A Japanese-American Experience. And we're looking at a child's perspective. How was it to grow up in the 1940s? And so I want to just start with this. The 1940s seemed to be a very long time ago. If you think of your life as a third grader, you're about 8, some of you are 9 already. So going back to the 1940s means going back 60 years. Or about 6 of your lives. Think of all the time that you have lived since you were a baby, and then you went to kindergarten and everything else, right? And so, if you think of your life, since you were a baby, went to kindergarten, came to Humphreys Avenue School, and now you're a third grader. That's about 6 or 7 of your lifetimes. So that's when our guests today, that's when they were growing up, in the 1940s. That's when they were in school. Okay, now I'll introduce our guests right now. So that's what we're looking at, okay? And also in the 1940s, we had several things that were happening in the United States. The 1940s is probably remembered more, and I did have some pictures that I wanted to share with you, but I didn't set up the projector. But during the 1940s, you see a lot of the big band music, you had a lot of those cool old cars, the oldies. You had a lot of things that were happening. But one of the things that was happening also in the 1940s was a war. Kind of like the war we're having now with Iraq and then all that other stuff. But there was a war happening. Nowadays we call it World War II, but back then it was just the big war, the great war, and our guests will tell us more about that. So that's kind of where we're headed. Today in our conversation, in our talk, in our story, we're going to share what was happening in the 1940s. How was it to grow up in, maybe in the big city, I know Oakland maybe, or cities in LA, and how it was to be a kid back then, okay? So with that, I'm going to introduce our two guests. We have here today Mr. Jamashita and also Mr. Shishima, okay? And they were very kind enough to respond to my interview. So when I went to the museum, I just said, is there anyone here willing to come over? And they were very kind and to spend a few minutes with us, okay? So let's start with a round of applause for our guests, please. Okay. So for people that are taking notes, we have Mr. Jamashita, okay, and also Mr. Shishima. So let's do this. I did call Mr. Jamashita first, and then Mr. Shishima accepted the invitation after. So how about if we start with you, Mr. Jamashita? And then we're going to start with maybe just a little bit of information. Tell him a little bit about himself. And then we have some questions that we're going to ask both of our guests.
Hi, kids.
Hi.
So my name is Mr. Jamashita. My first name is Moss, okay? That's a Japanese name. And so you can just call me Moss. Okay, now I was born a long time ago. I'm 72 right now. But what your teacher is talking about was I was about 6 when the war he's talking about started with For America. And the war started for America, we're talking about World War II. I know there's been a lot of wars since then. But this war changed our lives, all the Japanese living here in California and all up and down the coast. This changed our lives forever, okay? Now the reason is Japan, you guys know where Japan is, right? Right. Well, they attacked America, okay? They dropped bombs on a place called Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Okay? You guys know where Hawaii is, right? Well, America has a naval station there. Okay? and Japan dropped bombs on there. And so that started the war between America and Japan. Now, this was December 7th, 1941. Now, because we went to war with Japan, America said, well, what shall we do with all the Japanese living here in America? Okay? So because my family, we look just like the people in Japan who started the war. Okay? So they thought, well, you know, can we trust these Japanese who are living here in America? Even though most of us were American citizens, right? If you're born here, I assume most of you were born here, you're an American citizen. But they said, can we trust them? So they weren't sure. So they decided for the people, the Japanese living on all along the West Coast, okay, from California, Oregon, Washington, they would say, well, we can't trust them because they are the enemy. Or we look like the same face, our faces are like the people who bombed America. So they said, what shall we do with them? So they decided to lock us up, to put us in concentration camps. Do you guys know what a concentration camp is? What is it? Huh? What is it? Yes, like a big jail. Yes. But the main difference is when someone is sent to prison, they're sent there because they did something wrong, right? Well, but the concentration camp is different. That's where they send all the people because of who they are, not because they did something wrong. Okay? Do you understand? Because we were Japanese, that's why they said, you look like the enemy, therefore we have to lock you up. Okay? Now that doesn't sound right to you, but that's what happened. Okay? Even though we didn't commit any crime, but they said, we have to lock you up. A lot of us were citizens because we were born here, but still they locked us up. I was 6. How old are you guys?
8, 9.
Oh, cool. Well, because the war, we had to stay in these camps for the whole war. The war lasted with Japan 3 years. Okay? So, I was in those camps. My family, we were in there for 3 years. Okay? Yes. Whoa, yeah. And so, we didn't get to leave until the war was over, 45, okay? We went in 1942. So, I was 6 when our family was taken away. Now, the first thing they did, because all these camps, I was born in Oakland, California. I don't know if you know where it is. But it's up north, Northern California, by San Francisco. Have you heard of San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay, well, Oakland is real close, okay? So that's where I was living, my family. And when the war started, I was 6, okay, 41. And so when they took us in, all these camps I told you about, they weren't all made yet. They weren't ready for us. So they said, we have to put you in what they called assembly centers, which were like temporary, okay, till the regular camps were finished. So they put us, they took the, you know what a horse racetrack looks like?
Yes.
Okay, big thing. They had a lot of stables where they keep horses, right? They were, well, there used to be one up there. It's a shopping center now. It was called Tamfran. Okay? And all the people who were living in that area of Northern California, all the Japanese, they took us and they put us in these racetrack, in this racetrack. They put us in the stables where they kept the horses.
So he's going to show us, Mr. Jamashi.
This is kind of hard to see.
I don't know if you can see this, but this is where they kept the horses. Yes. But they took the horses out and put us in there. Okay? Now, the good part was it was May. We were there for 6 months, from May to September. The good part was it was warm, so we could spend most of the time outside. But at night, we had to sleep in there. Now, the only thing they had were little cots, okay? And we had to put straw in these kind of bags. That's what we slept on. And, yeah, it wasn't too comfortable. It was very itchy, right? And kind of, it was smelly, too. So, but like I said, the stalls, we call them, these are called stalls, horse stalls. There's only room for the beds, okay? So we just slept in there. The rest of the time, we were able to stay outside because it wasn't too cold, okay? And we ate in these, what they call mess halls, where they served the food and they had outside toilets and things. Okay, so we were in this place from May to September. Then they took us to the regular camp, which was in Utah, okay, called Topaz, all right? And the capital of Utah is called Salt Lake City. Have you heard of Salt Lake City? Okay, well, this camp they took us to was called Topaz, and it was about 2 hours south of Salt Lake City. Okay, so they put us on these trains, and then we rode down to the camp. The camp was, most of these camps were put out in the middle of a desert, like, you know, and so there was nothing out there. So anyway, these camps all had barracks. Now, a barrack is just a supposed to be a house. And it had, our barracks had like 4 rooms, okay? And they had 1 room on each end and 2 in the middle. It was like a long, skinny building, okay? And it was just made out of wood, and they put tar paper on. You guys know what tar paper is? It's like black, oily paper, right? And they put it on the outside, and that's to keep the rain and stuff from coming through. It doesn't keep the dust from coming through, but anyway. So each barrack had 4 rooms. And then, because we had a large family, we had 9 in our family, they gave us 2 rooms. So we had the 2 rooms in the middle. And then that we spent the whole 3 years in this camp. Do you want me to interrupt? Huh? Okay. Now, for the children, like me and most of the kids about your age, it was not real terrible because we had to go to 2 schools. We had regular American English classes during the day, and then we had Japanese school right afterwards. So, can you imagine going to 2 schools, 2 classes every day? Anyway, that's what we had to do. But the rest of the time, we played outside, and we would, in the winter time, and the winters were really cold, lots of snow, lots of wind, lots of rain. But when it was cold or raining outside, we would play in the laundry room. Now, the barracks the laundry room would be about the length of this auditorium, not quite as wide. And the floor was concrete, cement, okay? And on the top would be open beams, not closed. Not closed like this. You could see the beams. So we used to play tag up there, you know, just hop from chase each other around. It was kind of dangerous because if you fell, you would fall on concrete. But anyway, we had to find things to do when it was cold and snowy. Now, I remember my first Christmas. The first Christmas I ever remembered was in camp. And the first Santa I ever saw was Japanese. And so what they did was they put in one of the barracks in the mess hall where we ate our meals, they built a fireplace. They put it up against the window so he could come in from outside, you know, and come through the fireplace. And so that was the first Santa I ever saw. And my first present I ever got was a little toy, a stuffed elephant. That was my first toy I ever got from Santa. Okay. And so we used to run around looking for lizards and things. And then that was, like I said, we stayed in the camp for 3 years. And then we were able to leave when the war ended. Okay. So we moved to a Salt Lake City because that was the close city to our camp.
And so Mr. Jamasha kind of gave us a background regarding what were the camps and what was happening. And right now I'll give Mr. Shishima a chance to do that. I do want to say something that Mr. Jamasha brought up. He said that his camp experience wasn't necessarily something really bad. And what we talked about with my, what I talked about with my students was this. Because families went together to these places. Your family cares about you. So your family does everything possible. Even if your family is not necessarily happy, you know, we lost our homes, we lost our jobs, we lost our lives. They still made that experience something good for the kids. Because it was important to take care of the kids that were growing up and to make sure that they still were kids and had fun and did everything else that kids usually do. And even though it was a prison, even though it was a very bad place, at least they could create a community inside that protected them from that. Okay? So with that, Mr. Shishima, you can give us a little bit of your... Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do an applause with Mr. Jamasha. Thank you. So I guess the way our conversation is going, we're going to have Mr. Shishima maybe give us a little bit of his experience about the camp. But what I had prepared also was just some questions about just growing up in the 1940s. So what do those right after? And both of you can get a chance to answer those, okay?
Hola! Me llamo Guillermo. Okay. Guillermo. In English, it's William or Bill. Shishima. Okay, in Japanese, Shishima is, she is numero cuatro, and Shima is palabra for isla. So me llamo Four Islands. Four Islands. Otro amigo is más, pero en español, más is more, ¿verdad? More. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what más said. Okay, so give you a background. My parents came from Japón. ¿Qué es Japón? Japan. Okay, so they came to America. I was born here in La Calle, Maine, by the Placita. You know where the Placita is? Olvera Street. Okay. Mi padres had el tiendo. El Mercado Plaza. So, my mother spoke more Spanish than English because she came from Japón. She knows how to speak Japanese, but not English. But she studied Spanish because she had to work in our grocery store, El Mercado Plaza. Okay, so all of the customers were people like you, Hispanic people. And most of them live where the Dodger Stadium is. You know where the Dodger Stadium is? 60 years ago, they called that Chavez Ravine. Chavez Ravine. So many of the customers lived in Chavez Ravine, and they looked like you, all Hispanic people. That's why my mother had to learn to speak Spanish, because if she spoke Spanish, she could talk to people that came to the market and talk Spanish. But when I was growing up, I went to a Japanese school. We had English, and they also taught us Japanese. But my parents says, no, we don't have to learn Japanese here in America. She says, I have to learn English. So I can't speak Japanese, okay? Even though I went to a Japanese school, we taught regular English, social studies, history, English, math, everything we had to study. But I didn't have to study Japanese because my mother, my father wanted me to speak English. We're here in America, so we have to speak English. All right? So I grew up there, and like Ma said, 1941, Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, so now we're at war with Japan. I look Japanese, but I'm American, just like you. I'm American. I was born here in America. My parents came from Japan. That's why I look Japanese. Okay? So now we're into the camps. Anybody heard of Santa Anita? Santa Anita? Okay. That's also a horse race track. My family was lucky. We lived on the parking lot of Santa Anita horse race track over here in Arcadia, California. I say lucky because my abuelitos, they lived in the horse stables, just like Mas had to live in the horse stables. My abuelitos lived in the horse stables. And I loved my abuelitos, but I didn't like to go visit them because the smell of the horses that used to live there. Would you like to live in a horse stable? I don't think so. But Mas's family and my abuelitos had to live in horse stables. And we're lucky it was only about 5 months. And then we got on trains. And when we got on the trains, they said we had to pull down the shades so we can't look out the windows. We had to pull down the shades, and we rode for 2 days. We didn't know where we were going, but we ended up in Wyoming, way far north, snow country. Okay, so we're in Heart Mountain Camp. Why did they cover the windows? Because when the other American people see us on the train, we look like the enemy. Okay, we look Japanese. So maybe they might throw some rocks or bottles at the train as we're going through the cities. That's why they didn't want us to look out, and they didn't want the American people to see us going on the train, because they may throw rocks and stones against us because we look Japanese, the enemy. Okay? But I'm American. They didn't know that. So that's how we did that. Yes. Yes. I look like the enemy, but I'm American. We're all different types of Americans. Some look like me. Some are darker. Some are lighter. Some look like you. America is different. Okay? All different people. Okay? And how many people eat with their family, their mothers and fathers? Okay, very good. But when we were in camp, we had to go to the cafeteria. And the cafeteria, we called it the mess hall. Does that sound good? No. But we use all the soldiers' terms, soldiers' name. All the soldiers go eat at mess halls. They live in barracks. Okay? So when we went to the mess hall, the other boys and girls, I was 11 years old, a little bit older than you, but the other boys and girls said, gee, I'm a sissy if I have to eat with my father and mother and brothers and sisters. So what happened in camp? Lots of the boys just ate together, and the girls ate together, and the parents ate differently. So we didn't get to talk about family businesses in the camp because we didn't eat together. Because the other boys and girls said, gee, you're a sissy if you have to eat with your parents. So we ate with the boys, and the girls ate with the girls. Okay, so after we ate, we get ready, we go to school. After school, we come back and play. Then we had to listen to the dinner bell. When we heard the dinner bell, we ran to, what do we call the cafeteria? Mess hall. Yes. So we ran to the mess hall, lined up, ate, and went out to play again. So it was nighttime before we saw our parents again. So as young children, okay, when I was a young kid, how old was I?
Yes.
It was sort of fun in the camp. Even though it's a prison, it was sort of fun for me because in one block, we had 500 people living in one block. And of the 500 people, 200 are young boys and girls. So I always had a playmate. So it was fun for me. But for my parents, it was no fun because we had barbed wire fence around the camp. We had soldiers with rifles, and up in the guard tower, they had searchlights or spotlights and machine guns aiming in. So that was no fun, okay? But just for us kids, it was sort of fun. And I was 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. How many years was I in camp?
3 years.
But I didn't get any birthday parties because we were in camp and we didn't have birthday parties, okay? What supplies did we use? Oh, very good question. Okay, first, when we had classes in the barracks. It's just a long building. We sit on benches. No desk, no chairs, on benches. Would you like to sit in your class just on benches? That's what we had to sit on. We didn't have any tables to write on or anything. That was the first year. But the next year, they built a new school for us. So we had regular classrooms like you have today. Okay? So growing up Japanese American. Okay, I look different from lots of you. I look different. I look like Japanese. So some people, when they get mad at me, they said, go back where you came from. Where did I come from? America. So I'm home. But just because I have a different looking face, they think I come from Japan. Who came from Japan? My parents, not me. I was born here in America. I'm American. My father looks like me, but he came from Japan. Okay? So sometimes they tell me that, and maybe sometime some of your other friends, when they get mad at you, might say, oh, go back where you came from. Okay? And some of you look like you could have come from Central America or South America. But if they tell you, go back where you came from, and you're born here in America, you tell them, I'm American. Okay? And then, even speaking the language, I told you I do not speak Japanese, even though my parents spoke Japanese. And they learned Spanish because that was for their business. Okay? So, just because we look different, it's a little bit different. When my son, mi hijo, went to University of Southern California. Anybody heard of that? SC? Okay. So he wanted to get a scholarship. So when he went to USC to school, it says minority scholarship. Anyone know what minority means? Okay. Minority usually is not the whole American. Americans, and then they have smaller groups. And Japanese is a smaller group. So they say Japanese is minority. So my son went to get a scholarship for minority scholarship. He said, no, you're not minority. So my son couldn't get minority scholarship, even though he looks like me too. So America is a little bit different. For some things, they call us minority, or the small group of people. There's not too many Japanese or Japanese here in America. So they're minority. But when they went to college to get a scholarship, they said, no, you're not minority, so you can't get scholarship. So America has two different ways to look at people that look like different. Okay? So I think I'll stop here right now.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and open up for a few questions. I do have one prepared question, and then either our guests are welcome to answer that. And now, I'm going to say this. My classroom is here, but our guests are all the other third graders. So I would like a question from someone else, and then maybe we can come back to my room a little bit later. So I'll go ahead and bring up the mic, and then you guys can ask questions too, but let's have our guests ask questions first, okay? I know you've had your hand up for a while, right? Yes? So just say your name, and then your question, and then our guests can answer that. Go ahead, stand up.
Did you have homework?
Question in school, homework? I would.
Yes, like Bill said, in camp, like I said before, we had to go to two schools, right? And the Japanese school was after our regular American school. And they gave us a lot of homework. And we didn't study Japan, we studied how to read and write. But it was a lot, so it was like double homework.
Yes, just like everyone else. So I hope each and every one of you do your homework, okay?
I'm going to go all the way back here because I did see some hands back here. And then we'll go back to the middle and maybe back to the front.
My name is Isaac. What was your teacher's name?
Well, questions about school. Maybe we can use our imagination and use other kinds of questions too, okay? Names of your teachers. Let's see if you remember that.
Oh, I had a Mr. Gladden. Mr. Gladden.
I'm sorry, I can't remember back that far.
Remember, Mr. Dimashio was only 6 years old. So, he was probably a first grader, right? Zach, you had a question then, and we'll get back to the students.
How do you feel now about what happened? Are you still angry?
The question was from Zach, how do our guests feel about what happened? How do they feel about what happened?
Well, it wasn't so much anger, but when we got out of camp, I didn't want anything to do with being Japanese for many years. When we got out of camp, my father, this was when we were living in Salt Lake City, my father asked me, are there any Japanese schools in the area? And I said, there was, but I told him there weren't, because I didn't want, and I regret it to this day, but I didn't want to, you know, go to Japanese school. I really didn't like my name for many years. You know, I would be in, now, the first class, right out of camp, 1946, I was in the fourth grade. And in my classroom was about 30 children. But there was only one other Japanese student in the class. The rest were Caucasians and a few Hispanic. But it was predominantly Caucasian. One other Japanese girl. And I avoided her like a plague for another 10 years. We continued on through the years. I never spoke to her until we were seniors in high school. So it was just my teachers couldn't pronounce my name, and so I often thought about changing my name and things like that. A lot of my friends did, you know. They had Japanese names, but they would take on names like Bob and Jim and Tom and so forth. And so even my dad had taken on, started to use, his name was Toyoji, but he used Tom for, you know, business purposes.
We'll go ahead and go, I'll go back to the middle and then back to the front, okay?
Okay, I'm like Moss too. Right after the war, 1945, when I walked the streets, I looked different. And I was 15 years old going to high school, and two little girls, Caucasian women, girls, maybe 5 years old, I was walking home from school, and one of the girls says, "Hello, man." Wow, I felt great. I was only 15 years old, and the little girl said, "Hi, man." So I felt good. But no sooner she said that, the other girl told her, "No, he's not a man. He's a Jap." That's a bad word to call people of Japanese ancestry. So again, I felt different because I looked different. But remember, Americans look different. like some of the Hispanic people, some of the Asian people, some of the black people. They're all Americans. But I don't feel bad about being in camp, but I wish my parents, they lost their in Mercado Plaza store, and he had to start life all over again at 50 years old, and he had five of his children to start all over again.
Okay, well, I have a question here in the middle. Maybe it's around here. Anyone here in the middle?
My name is Jose, and why did they throw the bombs?
Why did they throw the bombs? We're not sure. We're not sure why, but Japan is a small island country, and they wanted to expand. They wanted to get bigger. They called it the Japanese Empire. And Hawaii was close to Japan, so they wanted to attack Hawaii and get more land. Okay? So that's the reason, probably.
I've got a question here.
My name is Graciela, and I was going to ask you, did you get good grades or bad grades?
As a first grader, remember your grades?
No, I don't remember. I think they were okay.
Okay, speaking of grades, though, I hope each and every one of you go on to college, okay? You have to finish Garfield High School and then go to college, because high school education is not enough, okay? So each and every one of you, for your benefit, you have to do your homework for yourself, not for your teacher, not for your father or mother, but for yourself. So go on to college, okay?
Okay, I guess we'll just do maybe one or two more questions. Otherwise, we're not going to have enough time.
My name is Rosa. Why did the war start?
That's kind of the bomb question, I think. You want to do that, or should... let's see. I think it's the same question, and so that's a little bit more complicated. You'll get a chance to study that when you go to middle school and high school, looking at World War II, right?
Will you tell us about the most important part of your life?
Stephanie, you're asking the most important part of your life as a growing up in the 1940s? Okay.
That's very difficult. I've never looked at it as one part being more important than the next. It's always been just looking, taking one step at a time. You know, if you think too far ahead, it can overwhelm you. You know, like I want to be whatever. You have to do one step at a time so it won't make it look like it's too... If you think about climbing a mountain, you think, look at the top and it may look too far. But if you just take one step at a time, then you will get there.
The most important part of my life was I was a maestro at Hamasaki School, right over there, by Belvedere Park. Okay, so I was able to talk to young boys and girls just like you. So that was the most important part of my life.
So actually, when I made my appointment, I was telling my guests that it would be like 20 minutes. I know we've gone way, way, way over. I don't know how do you feel about it? A few more questions, or is that... Yeah? You're okay with it? Yeah. So I know that it's difficult when we kind of extend things over and over again. Let's do this. How about this? If each of you, the next week or so, in your classroom, you kind of write a summary, you kind of write what this experience meant to you, and then in those writings, in your paragraph, you can add a question, or you can add an additional question to your writing. And then like that, I think our guests will have an opportunity to read your letters. They have an opportunity to read your letters and then respond to them, okay? So, I think it's about time we should wrap this up, okay? And let's do this. Let's do a round of applause for our guests. Thank you for all your help today. Okay. Thank you so much. Any last words from our guests, sir?
No, it's very, very enriching to come here and speak to you, and I hope you will take something away from this. Okay, thank you again.
Okay, thank you very much, and as I mentioned before, I hope all of you go to college. Okay, go to college.
Thank you so much.